Is Living the Good Life live right now from Clearwater, Florida, and we are so glad that you are joining us. It's going to be a great day. It's a gorgeous day here, a little chilly but beautiful. Nan is in the station with me. Kind of cool the last couple days for us, isn't it?
Yes, for me it's been kind of cool.
You have a big old bulky sweater on there. You got to be warm now.
I'm going to be warm now.
Yeah. Well, it is a little cooler for us, and wherever you happen to be in this wide world, since this show is carried live on the internet around the globe and then live in several states, it's kind of cool, isn't it? Nan, that we have that kind of coverage on the show. It's just a blessing to us. We've been doing this a long time now. We're in our sixth year on this radio show. So coverage has increased every year almost. It's just been really fun.
It is pretty
to see
cool
what happens.
To know that the word of the Lord can reach out to so many people who are listening either now or later on the radio. I mean, on the website.
Exactly. And we are hearing from more of you. We have the internet up right here in front of Nan. It is ready to go. Our email address, mine actually, is pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. That ends in IES, beaconofhopeministries.com, pastor@. So if you want to comment during the show, ask a question, or just tell Nan that she looks great, that's fine. And you can do that at any time. So you can send us an email. So we have a great day today, Nan, not just on the show. I'm so excited about this show. Carol will join us in a little while. And it's just a fun to get in the Word and talk about the birth of Jesus and how it builds our faith. This is going to be a faith-building show today, Nan.
It is. I'm really looking forward to the subject matter.
Yes.
Which will surround the birth of our Lord.
And it's not, the story never gets old. It's the truth, you know, and it does not get dull. In fact, to me, every year that I teach it, now having pastored 30-some years, I can tell you, I've taught it many, many times, but it never gets old. It is such a cool, wonderful series of events that builds our faith in God, doesn't it?
Most definitely. And, you know, you told the general scripture of where we're going to be going, and I just told you before we started that I have forgotten about that. So it just, you know, you just can keep learning from the same thing, because the Spirit of the Lord will let you see things in different ways and continue to learn.
Right.
The same story that you go over every year.
Amen. So get ready to have your faith built today. We have something else exciting going on today. And this show now, I had somebody call me the other day from Pennsylvania and did not realize the time change. So be sure and tell people we're now 3 to 5 Tampa time instead of 4 to 6. And we're staying at that time. So 3 to 5. It's a little over after 3 right now in Tampa. Tell me, Nan, what's going on this afternoon at 6 o'clock for all of us at Beacon of Hope Ministries?
For all of us at Beacon of Hope Ministries, we're having Christmas in the park in a beautiful park here in Dunedin.
Yes.
And I'm going to have some fantastic music by our band.
580 West 580 is the name
West.
Of them now. Yes.
And just, you know, a little bit of word that you will share. And it's just a nice time. It's a little bit cool, so it's gonna be nice. You know, it's not freezing, anything like that. I mean, it's just a
no
nice
snow.
Cool. No snow. No snow.
No ice.
No ice.
No rain.
No rain. But it's just a nice, the briskness in the air will add to the beauty of the evening, I believe.
Yes. So come on out and bring a chair. You're going to need a camp chair or something like that, beach chair, because there are no chairs out there on this grassy area in front of the Rotary Pavilion at the corner of Pinehurst and Michigan in Dunedin. Easy to find. Michigan is right off of CR1 between Curlew and 580. So if you're headed west on Michigan, you will cross Pinehurst and see us on the left at the Rotary Pavilion right on the lake. It is a gorgeous setting there on the lake. So it's a huge platform stage, and the band will be set up there. In fact, they should be arriving there fairly soon to get ready and do sound checks and all the things that they have to do. So if you're in the Tampa Bay area, if you're not in the Tampa Bay area and you still have time to get your private jet out of the hangar and fly on down, that would be great. Because we do have some friends that did consider that, except they don't have a private jet.
At least they thought about it.
But they did think about it. And they wondered if we had one. No, we don't. Right now.
They wouldn't let you use your friend. Maybe one day. Maybe one day. We'll be flying you all over the world to preach the gospel.
That would be great. So anyway, you still have time if you're in the Tampa Bay area to come tonight at 6 o'clock prompt. We're going to start right at 6, be done a little after 7. It's not going to be a lengthy all-evening thing, but you're going to love the band. You're going to love the Christmas carols and the songs around Christmas and sharing a little bit of the word, and you'll walk away feeling better and know what this season is about more deeply than maybe you ever have. So we're excited about tonight, Christmas in the Park, Dunedin Highlander Park at 6 o'clock. So, Nan, we've got some great music. We got some great scripture. Those of you out there that are not driving down the road and can get to your Bible, why don't you turn to the book of Isaiah? And be ready as we're getting ready to talk about this wonderful scripture in Isaiah, the first part of the book of Isaiah. And as we get going today, let's pray and then let's get a song. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to be live on the radio this week and every week. And for so many years now, Lord, you have provided the funds for this to happen. And so, Lord, again today, we thank you in advance for the listeners, those that will listen live and those that will catch this show at a later time on our website. Lord, we just ask that hearts would be touched for your kingdom today, that faith in you and in your word would build in each listener, that they would realize that, God, you are so intentional, that your plan was to send your son Jesus to this earth, and that you executed that plan perfectly. And we're going to, we're just going to be excited about that and let that whole story build our faith today. Lord, let every listener feel closer to you as a result of your word and these great songs today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to start right off with a Faith Hill song, not Sunday Night Football. Although I love that when Faith Hill does it on Sunday night. Hey, it's Sunday Night Football. Faith Hill, this one is A Baby Changes Everything.
Teenage girl, much too young, unprepared for what's to come. A baby changes everything. Not a ring on her head, all her dreams and all her plans. A baby changes everything. A baby changes everything. The man she loves, she's never touched. How will she keep his trust? A baby changes everything. A baby changes everything. And she cries. Ooh, she cries. Ooh. She has to leave, go far away.
Great new song. I have not heard that one. That may not be new, but I haven't heard it. So
new to us.
Yeah, New to Us by Faith Hill. So that was great. Mm. We're glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Go with us to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. And this verse, in fact, the whole book of Isaiah, was written 700 to 800 years before Jesus came to this earth. 700 to 800 years before. The book of Isaiah is full of prophecy about the birth of Jesus, the death, the burial, all of this of Jesus. And Isaiah 7:14, and you all will remember this verse as we read it. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. One of the greatest prophecies 700 or 800 years before Jesus actually came, a virgin will be with child and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. That means, by the way, God with us. God the Father is extremely intentional. He doesn't just haphazardly do things down through history. He is very intentional. The birth of Jesus was foretold actually a couple thousand years or more, actually more than that, before Jesus came to this earth. And this is one of those verses, that the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Skipping over to Isaiah chapter 9 in your Bible. And let's look at verse 6, Isaiah 9, 6. Again, another faith builder. Love these verses. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Whoa, hallelujah. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. That's him. That's our God. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Mm. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That is what Jesus is called. That is what God the Father is, all of those things. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7 of Isaiah 9, all this was prophesied 700 or 800 years before it actually happened. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Wow, I like that. There's not going to be any end to peace, Nan. We can guarantee, we have it right here in writing, we can have peace abundantly that just keeps on giving. Peace, 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 wonderful peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne. This is another prophecy that is fulfilled. He will reign on David's throne. He had to come through the line of David because God the Father promised David that the Messiah would come through his line. This is another prophecy right now that the Messiah would come through the line of David. Could have come through all kinds of other people. But God had promised David that the Messiah would come through his line. And it says it right here. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. In other words, when God says he's going to do it, he's going to do it, and he's going to get it done. And in Jeremiah, let's just look at Jeremiah 1:12. The Lord says to Jeremiah, I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. We can give you a lot of other verses, but there's a verse in Isaiah chapter 54 that says, no weapon formed against my word shall prosper. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. There's another one that says God watches over his word to perform it all the time. That's Isaiah 55:11. No word of God's returns unto him void, but it accomplishes that for which it is sent. God the Father sent these words through prophets. Man, this is so amazing to me. I love this. Hundreds and even thousands of years, because it really dates back to the first prophecy being given about Eve. Quarterback. Right. And then Abraham, and then Isaac, and then Jacob, and then David, and all through the line, God promised his people that he would bring the Messiah through that line, the line of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then David. And he did it. It's cool because he always fulfills his word because he is so intentional. He's intentionally setting out to keep his promises. I don't know about you, Nan, but I know a lot of people who don't keep promises. That's a human thing, right?
That is a human thing. And sometimes people don't keep promises to us.
Right.
And,
sure.
But when you have many people who do keep promises to us, and how exciting that is, you know, whatever they may promise to do or give you or whatever,
right,
keep that promise, how exciting that is, how much more exciting it is God keeping his promise that he bring them through the line of the people that he was going to bring them through.
And you know what's exciting to me, Nan, is that God intentionally, from the beginning of time, had the plan. You know, he didn't just wake up one day and think, oh, man, I don't know what we're going to do about fallen humanity. It's such a mess. Maybe I better. No, this was in the heart of God the Father. And we know God had no beginning and no end. So this was always in the heart of the Father, always there. And so, you know, it was, the plan was there. He knew what he was going to do before even Eve and Adam sinned. He knew what he was going to do.
That's pretty cool.
Isn't it?
That he had it. He was intentionally, he had a plan.
He had a plan. So here we go. And there's so many prophecies. We've mentioned this the last couple weeks on the air as we've been studying this wonderful birth of Jesus, about the likelihood of all these 360 some prophecies about the Messiah being fulfilled in one person. And remember the number? Do you remember the number?
100 quadrillion.
There you go. The likelihood of even eight of those 360 being fulfilled in the same person is only one chance in 100 quadrillionth. That's crazy.
That was like, it seemed like, wasn't that 12 zeros after the 100?
You know what? There's so many
either
zeros.
Either 9 zeros or 12 zeros.
Know.
I forgot.
It's crazy. That
was a lot.
You know? Really. All right. And so let's go to the book of Luke, because we have made the first point that I want you all to be sure and get down on the inside of you, that God is very intentional, that he decided before there ever was the first sin from Adam and Eve, that there would be, that would happen. He knew it would happen. And he had a plan in order to remedy that sin. And it reminds me of John 3:16, and I love that verse. We quote it so much on the air, but it always applies. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Whosoever.
Whosoever.
That means you and I.
That means you. That means me. All right.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Whosoever.
Let's go to Luke chapter 2. Verse 1, about that time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. Now, I find this very interesting, Nan, because this was intentional. God knew that he was going to have to somehow get Joseph and Mary from their little town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem. And so this was the way it happened. He got them up there, because of the census, which was a law and it was a decree, and they had to obey it. They didn't have a choice. So, you know, God used a man-made requirement system, right, to bring about his plan and bring about the fact that he needed to get Mary and baby Jesus and Joseph up to Bethlehem. And because of that, there had to be a way to do that. Otherwise, they would have stayed home in Nazareth to have the baby, don't you think?
Yeah, I'd have stayed put if I was that far along. I wouldn't want to be moving around anywhere.
She was so close. That's right. She was so close to birth, giving birth. This was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to travel to his own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So it's not like our day where we can just punch a computer and be accounted for, or somebody comes to your door and marks that, yeah, there's so many people that live in this house.
Right.
Census is done once every 10 years in the United States. But this was something where everybody had to go physically to the town that their ancestors were born in, which is, you know, the family town, you know.
Right.
A lot of us go home for Christmas to the old family place. When I was a kid, we used to go to my grandmother's, and that was in Marion, Indiana. And I had been born in Marion, Indiana, so it was kind of cool. We would go back there for Christmas, and that was where. But there wasn't anything about a census. It was just we went a certain place because that's where the family went, you know?
Cool.
Right? So everyone had to travel to his own ancestral home. And so Joseph went from the Galilean town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judah. Now, it says up because this was a travel up the side of a mountain. From Nazareth to Jerusalem was about 1,500 feet. And if you know anything about Pikes Peak and mountains, 1,500 feet is not just peanuts. That's, you know, you're climbing a little bit there. And so Joseph put Mary, as you all know the story, on the donkey, and they proceeded to go up to Jerusalem. And when they got to Jerusalem, then they had to go another 5 miles to Bethlehem. And so this was not like an hour or two journey. This journey on a donkey would take quite a while. And
all those bumps along the way.
Can you think about that? And going up the side of a mountain? I mean, oh my. Oh, so this was David's town, Bethlehem, and they had to go there for the census because Joseph was a descendant of David, and so was Mary. Now, we know that God had already told us hundreds and thousands of years before that this child, the Messiah, would come through the line of Abraham and then Isaac, Jacob, and on down, and then David. And so the birth had to happen in David's town. That's where it had to happen. So he had to go there, and he went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. And while they were there, we don't know how quickly she gave birth after they got to Bethlehem, but we know that she did. So the time came for her to give birth. What time? Well, that perfect time. You know, we talk a lot, and I've been teaching many times recently about time, the word for time in the Word of God. In the Greek, and the New Testament was written in the Greek, can either be logos, which is just the normal passing of time, you know, like, well, you know, this time next year, that type of thing. Or it's fall, this is that time of year. That would be the logos. But when it's a specific opportune moment that we need to seize the moment, like carpe diem, seize that moment, you know, when it's that type of time, the Greek word for that is kairos, and it means that perfect, opportune moment for the miracle or whatever to happen. This wasn't any haphazard moment in time, Nan, was it?
It was intentional.
It was intentional. There you go. You got that right word
that
there. It was intentional because the baby had to be born in Bethlehem, again, fulfilling another prophecy from Micah Chapter 5, verse 2, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Very intentional. So, again, Mary had to even marry somebody from the line of David, or they would not have ended up in Bethlehem. They were not married yet at this point, but she was engaged to Joseph. They would not have ended up in Bethlehem for the census if she had not been engaged to a person who was in the line of David. Interesting
That's
stuff.
Very much so.
Yeah. So here we are, and there they are in Bethlehem. And while they were there, the time, and this is the kairos in Greek, that opportune, perfect time came for her to give birth. I'm in verse 6 of Luke 2 in the Message Bible. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the hotel or hostel, it says in the Message Bible.
Yeah. Well, I saw that. I thought it was a misprint.
No,
of mine.
It's a hostel, like a, you know, place. Yeah. Okay. Now, we're going to skip over the shepherd part right now, and I want to go over to verse 21, and I want to talk about an event that happened 8 days after Jesus was born. Very important scripture here about Simeon and Anna, and we want to bring Carol in. Are you there, Carol?
I am here in sunny, cool Georgia.
Is it a nice day up there, up your way?
Beautiful day up here, but it's cold. I mean, it's not unbearably cold, but it certainly isn't spring either.
Right, yeah. It's nice here. We're looking forward to tonight, Christmas in the Park, so it's going to be good. Carol, you know, this story never gets old. You know, Nan and I were just talking about that no matter how many times through the years we teach it or we study it, it's just beautiful. God's timing, his perfect timing, it speaks so much to our lives.
I think it's a story of hope, and certainly hope never gets old.
Right, exactly.
Sometimes it's all we have left in life.
Right.
Is hope. You know, hope that some child of our own or somebody that we know might lose the old life and come to know Christ in a different way.
Right.
It sometimes hope means that we have a dream that has not been fulfilled, and we keep hoping that God will see fit to make that dream come true for us or help us to realize how to make it come true. I don't know how anybody can live without hope. It's the last thing that anybody can have. I've stood at the deathbed of many people, and the last thing that they would have would be hope.
Right, exactly.
A lot of their hope was that they would see Jesus.
Amen. And you know, Carol, that's a really good point to make right here, because the Jews had a hope that their Messiah was coming at some point in history. They did not know when he was coming. They did not know and really understand the scriptures enough to connect that the time was upon them until these different things started happening, like the visit to the shepherds, which we skipped over, but we'll talk about another time. They had hope that the scriptures, the Torah, was correct, that the Messiah was actually coming at some point. That, you know, but they had no clue when, you know?
That's true. They had no clue when things were going to happen, and we've got to remember the period of time all of this took place. There were no media specialists running around.
Right.
There was no way to communicate as we do today.
Right.
It was simply word of mouth, maybe a town crier type situation. But that took a long time for some folk to hear the good news.
Exactly.
Or to hear the prophesized news. You know, I guess their local place was their temple where they would go and get the words of the day. You know, we flip on the television, the radio, an iPod, iPad, whatever, and we're covered with the news of the day, sometimes too covered with it.
Right, exactly. But, you know, that's a really good point, Carol. And even with those restrictions, that they had no way to really communicate all this, like Mary was told, this reminds me, that's a good point, because Mary was told by the angel that her cousin Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist. Mary really didn't know that because they didn't live near each other. There was no way to communicate that. And the angel actually told Mary that, and Mary left right after she became pregnant and left and went to her cousin Elizabeth. But she was told that news by the angel because there wasn't a way to get that. But doesn't that say, let me ask Nan first and I'll get back to you, Carol. Think about that, Nan. The ability of God to get his message out without all the media that we have now, Yet, pretty soon, this man, Jesus, was walking the countrysides and attracting crowds of thousands, right?
Yes.
I mean, think about that. Think about the magnitude and what God did there.
I mean, that's pretty, you know, like Carol said, I mean, you know, I could text someone right now, and they're more than likely going to have it within 5 seconds of my texting, you know.
Right.
We're on the radio show or whatever, you know.
Right.
And that he would be able to do things in such a way in a time era that they did not have the communications available to them that we have now, and be able to get the message out is pretty miraculous within
itself. Oh, it's fantastic.
You know, it's pretty miraculous.
Yeah, it's really cool. Wow.
You know, today, I don't know that we would really recognize, a lot of us anyway, the communications of angels, unless you've ever felt the presence of an angel delivering a message to you, whether it be a message of protection, a message of hope, a message of strength, whatever it might be, or even the Holy Spirit coming and speaking to you in your heart and giving you points of information you may
right.
never have known
right.
or never had reason to know at that situation in your life, would we recognize the voices of the angels and the Holy Spirit? If you're not living in Christ, you won't.
If you're not living in God, no. But, you know, I do believe that God does train our ears to hear him. I was actually reading in Isaiah 30 or 32, I think it is, yesterday about that you're going to hear a voice behind you or beside you, and that God will speak to you. And this is what he does. He speaks to us. He speaks to us right now through the scripture, this old familiar story. He speaks to us, reminds us of his intentionality, reminds us of his perfect timing, reminds us that he had the plan. That's God speaking to us through the scripture, through the stories. It's amazing. I love the fact that we can just be about our normal activities and know that God is speaking to us in some way, you know, through somebody else, through an event. Nan's got a puzzled look on her face here, Carol. So I want her to comment on this.
No,
God speaks to you.
Angels, because I know they've spoken to me, and I've been in the presence. I can document truthfully with other people there and seeing the events. I know that God has spoken to me by the use of angels no less than 5 times. Major statements that were made or given to me. To stand even in the presence of the angels. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt.
That's not common for most people, however.
It is not common with most people.
And most people have...
But I do believe that he has messengers that come to me and speak to me, whether it's the Holy Spirit, whether it's like you calling me and saying a prophetic word, or Nan calling and saying,
sure.
Carol, I had a vision in my mind's eye and my consciousness about
right.
you,
mm-hmm.
or my subconsciousness. I need to tell you this.
Right.
You know, I would believe without a shadow of a doubt if one of God's people came to me and gave me a message. And I think that's what Mary did. She believed with no trepidation.
Right.
No. Can we talk here, Angel? You know, I got things to do. You know, I'm a virgin. I don't have time to get caught up in these,
it's amazing,
these
isn't it?
Little stories that you're going around telling people.
And she just so took the angel's visit and the commission that the angel gave her, you're going to carry the Messiah. She so took that by faith and so said, be it done to me according to your word. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, and that's Luke 1:38. Mary said, yes, I see it all now. This is after the angel had been talking to her. I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say. And then the angel left her. I love that because it shows the heart attitude of Mary. Whatever you say, I'll do it. Yes, the faith and her attitude. Absolutely. Yes.
Having trusting faith in something unseen and yet knowing in her heart that she would do what she had been asked to do.
Absolutely. And she just ventured out there. She just did it. She just got out there and said, okay, because... The verse I was talking about a minute ago is Luke 1:39, because Mary, as soon as Mary says, be it done to me according to your word, The next thing that happens is Mary didn't waste a minute. It says in the Message Bible, Luke 1:39, she got up and traveled to a town in Judah in the hill country, straight to Zechariah's house, and greeted Elizabeth, her cousin. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leaped. She was filled with the Holy Spirit and sang out exuberantly. And then Elizabeth prophesies and sings out as a result of the arrival of Mary and believing that Mary was the chosen vessel to carry the Messiah.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
And, you know, it had to be very difficult. Small village, a lot of conversation. What do you mean? How's this happening? Who is this girl? Why was she chosen?
Exactly.
You can hear all that in the naysayers in the village.
Right. Absolutely.
And she's dishonored her family.
Right.
Oh, little did they know that she was carrying the greatest honor her family would ever have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Megan in Indiana is on the show, one of our radio team now. She just wrote an email here. Nan, can you read it? Because it goes right along here, Carol, what you're saying about angels.
It's amazing how the whole birth of Jesus was a Kairos moment. I often ponder what people would do if you were suddenly approached by the angel of the Lord at your job. What if this hadn't happened? What if this hadn't happened over 2,000 years ago? What if it happened now? How would you react? Just as in Luke 2:8, the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds in their fields, told them not to be afraid. I bring you good tidings that will cause great joy. I read in my Jesus Calling book yesterday about an olive leaf. How many olive leaves have you been given in your life, giving you a sign of hope, a sign of peace, a way of telling you that it's all going to be okay at that moment? Messages from people anywhere, perfect strangers.
Right, exactly. So that's what we're saying, Carol. Megan is agreeing with that. How do we know that a perfect stranger or something happens at work or in a shopping center or something isn't God coming to us in the form of a person or an angel in a human disguise, even? Because that happens,
right,
too.
God knows which people to send,
right,
for the situation that someone is involved in, going through, the hope they might have, or whatever. We hear what we call now at this period of time, because it is the Christmas season, we hear stories of miracles,
right,
milagros, things that are happening that are unexplainable.
Right.
It's not unexplainable to God, because he takes his people that he knows are his people, that he can use as messengers, and he brings that olive branch. He brings that word of hope to someone.
Yes.
You know, that, you know, we've entertained angels unaware.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, many, many times.
Right.
And what I was talking about earlier, I did not know at the moment that I was entertained or being entertained by angels until later, when I realized what had happened could not have happened to me in the natural.
Right. And that's when you know.
And that's when I really sat down and went over and over almost every word that these people had said to me or shown to me,
right,
acts of kindness.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
I realized that it was God watching out for me.
Absolutely. I think we have more visitations than we ever realize. Yeah. And sometimes it may be something we reflect back on in time and realize, oh, wait a minute. That had to be an angel in some human form, which does happen, folks.
Yes, it does. And, you know, it's an amazing thing when it does happen. It's not so amazing when it's happening a lot of times, but when it's through, finished, done, and over, and you sit there and try to reflect what went on, how did it take place, how did this person, who was not even visible to you nor to witness, all of a sudden shows up out of a mist of fog and is as normal looking as you are and gives you a message of hope or does an act for you that is a message of hope and
right,
faith and love.
Sure.
And then you wave goodbye to the person, say, could I drop you someplace? And they go, no, I'll be fine. I must be about my father's business. You don't catch that little phrase until they're gone. You look up and they're gone, back in the same paper from which
that,
they appeared.
There's a lot of stories like that. Nan wants to comment
you know,
on that.
I'm reminded of a program that used to be on several years ago, and you can catch it in reruns now, Touched by an Angel.
Touched by an Angel,
and
yeah.
It's pretty cool that that people who maybe, who certainly were not serving the Lord, many, many, many people watched that program and were intrigued by it.
Right.
You know, and basically with the story, in case there's younger people listening who don't know what I'm talking about, basically a story about angels that they would have an assignment.
Right.
And they would go to that person and minister to them, and they would came as a form of the young lady, and then Del Reese was her mentor, kind of thing. And but I mean, even people who didn't claim any kind of Christianity were intrigued with that program. I mean,
right.
how much more so should we be, if you will, intrigued with how the Lord will move, as Carol was saying, you know, angelic visitations and share, you know,
amen.
We don't know who along the lines that we have met that was an angel who was actually there.
Well, it's interesting to me that Mary and Zechariah had these angel visitations, and Mary basically said, "Be it done to me, whatever you want." She believed the angel and whatever. And when Elizabeth greets Mary in Luke 1 and then prophesies, she says right before Mary starts talking, "Blessed woman," she's talking about Mary, her cousin, who believed that what God said, believed every word would come true, because Mary did believe, and so she received the Holy Spirit hovering over her. She received that that fertilization of her egg so that she mm-hmm. would become the mother. And so that leads us right into this song, and then we'll get back to Carol and Nan in a moment. But by Selah, one of our favorite groups, O Come, Emmanuel, because she was told she would carry Emmanuel, God with us.
Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. That mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice.
Say, and give them victory, oh.
Praise God. Emmanuel. Let's look at Matthew 1 a minute and about the angels that we've been talking about here. Matthew 1, look at verse 18. The birth of Jesus took place like this. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. Before they came to the marriage bed, Joseph discovered that she was pregnant. It was by the Holy Spirit, but he didn't know that. We were just talking about how Mary accepted this assignment to carry the Messiah within her body. But Joseph did not know that. They didn't communicate verbally about this. Joseph was chagrined but noble, and he determined to take care of things quietly so Mary would not be disgraced. Boy, this shows the godly character of this man, Joseph. He was handpicked by God. Mary was handpicked by God. So what did God do to get Joseph's attention? Carol, it goes back to the angel issue here. And this is Matthew 1:20. While he was trying to figure out a way out, that's Joseph, he had a dream. God's angel spoke in the dream. Here's what that angel said. Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth. And when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus. We're going to talk about this in just a little while. Why that name? You, Joseph, will name him Jesus. The name meant Jehovah is our salvation, or in the Message Bible, God saves, because he will save his people from their sins. This would bring about the prophet's embryonic sermon to full term. And it was this that we quoted in Isaiah 7:14 when we began the show. Watch for this. A virgin will get pregnant and bear a son. They will name him Emmanuel. And for in Hebrew, it means God is with us. Then Joseph woke up. He did exactly what God's angel commanded in the dream. He married Mary, but he did not consummate the marriage until she had the baby. He named the baby Jesus. He was obedient. Carol, comment on all that, will you?
Well, I just find it very interesting that what we read and absorb in our natural state is not what was really meant in a lot of ways. It was meant that the depth of the words, even the name Jesus,
right,
the depth of what the angel told Joseph, it goes beyond what we surfacely say. Well, he was born in the manger and they called him Jesus.
Oh, so much more.
There's purpose,
yes,
reason, intent,
yes,
in every single word. You know, God gives us a purpose, a reason, and impeccable timing.
Amen.
And it goes, when we read the story, and golly, how many of us have not read the story since, or heard it since we were children?
Right.
But as we really read it and dissect the impact of these people being involved in this birth, and that they're going to name the child, God with us.
Right.
Doesn't it once again establish the earthly relationship of God to his people?
Well, Carol, exactly. They didn't name him God thinks about you once in a while, or God's a great God, or God is our mighty God. They named him God with us, Emmanuel, God with us, which is the essence of the whole gospel right there, God with us. Nan, comment on that before we go back to Carol.
Well, I was saying, you know, God with us, and you just referred to that's the message in all the gospels.
Right.
And God with us, you know, God with me.
Yes.
Make it real personal. God with me.
God with me.
And that, when you just, that is just so powerful, just thinking, God with me. How cool.
How
know?
Cool is that? It's not some distant God somewhere on some heavenly cloud. This is God come to earth with us. Carol, comment on that. This is powerful stuff. Life changing.
You know, we don't have to be wealthy in the way of having great resources financially.
Right.
We don't have to be pretty, good-looking, handsome. We don't have to be any of that. We just say the name. And this is probably my favorite Christmas carol, and I'm a lousy singer, but boy, I sing that one out because I know Emmanuel, Emmanuel,
yes,
Emmanuel is,
yes,
with me.
Amen.
Oh, come, Emmanuel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're in distress, I don't care where it is, or when it's a happy time and you want to say thank you to God, Oh, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, come dwell within me.
Amen. Carol, we've got to all be reminded at this season that when we are all day long, when we wake up in the morning, Jesus, you're with me. Thank you that you're with me. I mean, thank you that you walk with me and talk with me and that you are right there with me all the time because you live on the inside of me. Woo, Nan, comment on that. We'll go back to Carol. Woo, good stuff.
Well, I just think that, he's with us. You know, I know I spent a week ago yesterday. I wound up spending some time actually listening to a previous radio show and typing some notes from that, but he was with me. I mean, while I was going through that,
right.
The anointing was still on that teaching, just like it is now going out live.
Exactly.
And you know, he was with me.
Yes.
He was with me, and that
yes.
you know, it was really powerful. Some of the things he was showing me and teaching me through the, you know, through spending time with him, through going through the radio show that I was listening to.
Carol, tell us why it's so important we get this down on the inside of us that God is with us.
Simply because you're never alone.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we live in situations around the world that are deplorable. There is
exactly.
nobody there.
Yes.
And there's no one that you can rely on. You know, children who've lost their parents to AIDS or a terminal disease of disorder of any kind, there's sometimes no one with them.
Right.
But the innocence of that child knows innately that God, that Jesus is with them.
Exactly.
They can feel it when adults can't feel it.
And they can
they know
see
that
things.
They're not alone. They lift
absolutely.
Their hands up and you can say, what are you doing, sweetie? I'm talking to Jesus. He's right,
right
here.
Right. Exactly.
And never in my teacher's mind did I say, no, he's not. You know, you're sitting here in my third grade classroom and I don't see anybody in that kind of dress in here, kiddo. I know that he is with that child, whatever their circumstances are. And you know, when you're talking about a little kid under the age of 10 or 11 years old, we are still that to God. We are his little children. Come unto me. Let them come to me as little
yes.
children.
Yes, amen. Amen.
And that's what we do. We can get very, very, very little with our Heavenly Father. We don't have to impress anybody.
Exactly.
All we have to do is cry and say, Abba, Father, I'm hurting.
Amen. And then we're right there. Nan wants to comment
well,
on that, Carol.
It reminded me of something. You know, supposedly the world was going to end on Friday.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
last
and,
Friday.
And we
yeah.
actually had parents keeping their children home at
oh,
school,
from school
because of that. And that's fine. What I was reminded of, you know, they were kind of like joking.
Right.
Like, well, the world's coming to an end today. And one person said in my office said to someone else, well, I'll see you in heaven. And they were joking. One said, I'll be on the right hand of God. And the other one said, oh, what makes you think you'd be on the right hand of God? And I said, you know what? I'm going to be curled up in his lap. And they're like, what? They looked at me like I'm totally lost my mind. You're going to curl up in God's lap? I said, he's my Abba Father.
Amen.
He's my Abba Father, and I can do that.
Amen.
That's right. We have
yes.
all of us in the world,
yes.
all of us that know him, have that opportunity. He's got a bigger lap than Santa Claus.
Right. Exactly, Carol. He does.
No, and he cuddles us and holds us more than what Santa Claus ever could or any other individuals such as Santa Claus.
Right.
God is right there. When we're happy, he is elated with us. We feel the joy down deep in our souls. You know, I like to say sometimes from my nose to my toes and everything in between.
Right.
You know, that's where I feel Jesus, from
Amen.
My nose to my toes and everything in between.
Carol, there's a little chorus that actually I think Carmen wrote years ago. We do it at Beacon quite a bit now. I feel Jesus, I feel Jesus, I feel Jesus in this place. And when we begin to sing that song, it is like it just goes all the way through me. Yes, Jesus, you're right here. You never leave us. You never forsake us. The most frequent promise in the Word of God is I will be with you always. And one of the Bible scholars, I think it was Kenneth Copeland, said that that phrase, that concept is 365 times in the Word of God. So once for every day. So he's with us today and tomorrow and the next day. Nan, comment on that. We'll get back to Carol after that.
Well, it's just good to know he's with us all the time, you know. and you know, at you know times, you know, and we've heard it said many times, you know, when you can't think of anything to pray, you can just say the name Jesus.
Amen.
And there's something powerful about saying the
yes.
name of Jesus. Speaking his name out loud, you
yes.
know, at times of a fear or a depression or whatever
right.
you may go through, if you feel you can't pray, just say the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, and it's very powerful.
Oh,
it's very
absolutely.
Powerful.
The name of Jesus, the name above every name. And we're going to get into what that name means. It means five different things, but we'll talk about that in a little while. But Carol, the knowledge that he is always with us, never leaves us, never gets mad at us and stops the communication. We're the ones that walk away from the communication, don't you think?
Definitely, because he says, to finish that phrase you were quoting, even unto the end of time.
Yes. Yes.
He is with us unto the end of time.
Amen.
And time has no ending in his kingdom.
Amen.
So does that forever. Mean? Gosh jeepers. He's with us.
Gosh jeepers. All
For
right.
Today,
I had never heard that before.
And always. And I like to say in all, A-L, ways.
That's exactly right. In all ways. He's always there. And I think this is the good news of the gospel at Christmas time, that God the Father loved us so much that he intentionally planned from the beginning of time to send us a Savior to absolutely remind us, tell us that he is going to live in us and with us, in us and with us. And that's the good news of the gospel. Jesus is right here. He's in this room here in the studio. He is in my heart. He's in Nan's heart. He's in your heart, Carol. He's in so many of our listeners' hearts. He lives in us if we ask him to come and live. He will not invade our free will he, Carol?
Never, ever. We do have free choice. We have free will. We've seen that take place recently. In a very tragic way, that people have free will.
Yes.
And they sometimes go quite against the way that God would have them go.
Amen.
But that's their choice. They can go down one fork of the road, or they can go the other fork. And some people choose the wrong fork. Therefore, they are isolating themselves from Christ. For whatever they call their reason or their time or their season, they are doing that. He's standing at that crossroads, hoping and praying that you will come to him.
Amen. All right.
And if you don't, then you live the consequences of the actions that you chose.
Exactly.
And Christmas in and of itself is not a joyous season. It's a season of angst and tribulation and trepidation. It's a season of families divided. It is a season of the prosperous businesses becoming more prosperous. The birth of Christ is the joy of Christmas.
Right. Exactly. And we're going to talk more about that in our next hour. So... we just want to remind you that we have a prayer line, and Carol was alluding to the fact that the holiday season can be a painful time emotionally. It can be a time where there's problems, strife in families. There's times when people don't get together because somebody's mad at somebody. And we've had some requests on our prayer line recently with family emotional issues. We encourage you to write us. We will pray about your situation. We have seen tremendous answers to prayer. It's very simple. The email address is prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Send your request. You don't have to give us last names or phone numbers or anything like that. Just tell us what it is you want us to pray for. We've got a large prayer team scattered around different places in the United States that will pray for your needs. And we have seen tremendous answers of prayer. Nan, is that true or is that true?
That's true. That's true and that's true.
All right.
That's true. Many, many prayer requests have come in and many, many praise reports have come
Amen.
In.
Amen.
And, and many of the people who prayer requests have been shared and maybe praise report didn't come back. We know that the Lord really moved in those situations.
Right.
You know,
and we want to get your praise
we
reports.
We want to get the praise reports.
Write us back and tell us what's happening.
It increases everyone's faith when that continues to
or
happen.
Or if things have not smoothed themselves mm-hmm. out, then write us and we'll keep on praying.
Right.
We want to know. We had an amazing prayer meeting the other night on Wednesday night. It was just so cool. We'll talk about it later. We have to do station ID right now.
WTAN Clearwater Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233BF Little Rock.
You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're in our sixth year on the air, and actually on January 6th, which is not next Sunday, it's 2 weeks from today, we will celebrate our 300th show on the air. 300. Can you believe that, Cedric? You have not always been our engineer, but you're a wonderful one, and we love you. And that's pretty much of an accomplishment, don't you think? 300 shows on this station.
Absolutely. That's a lot of shows. I was going to ask, did you start with Bill, or did you have someone else?
We started with Lee.
Oh, okay.
Lee. Cool. Lee was our first engineer for 2 or 3 years, and then Bill, and then you.
Very cool.
So we've really only had 3 engineers, and you're all great and a blessing. So, yeah, three engineers. The first show was on April the 17th or something like that, or 15th of 2007. So it's been every single Sunday. So we're excited about that, and we've got a song coming up here in just a minute. Carol has joined me today, and Nan, and we're talking about this wonderful Christmas time, this great story, which is so true, of God coming to earth in the form of a baby. He absolutely put his deity aside and came in human form. Totally amazing, Nan. It's just, I love it. Tell us what's going on tonight again. Let's make mention of that.
Oh, we're having Christmas in the Park. You'll have to tell the location because I forget it.
Yeah, because your GPS system in your head is not real good, is it?
No, I use my GPS on my dashboard.
I was going to say, you can ask God for a healing in that area, David.
Maybe I need to send a prayer request.
I think you should.
Christmas in the Park, our band
580 West.
We'll be playing. Brother Nathan will be sharing a couple songs. You will be speaking briefly.
Yeah. And briefly is the key word there. Because it's going to be a little chilly, so it won't be my normal 30, 40 minutes. It'll be about 10.
But it's just going to be a wonderful time of reflection upon what the season's about.
Right.
Togetherness of the people who are gathered together to hear, who, by the way, need to bring their own chairs.
Right.
Because it's just
and
a nice,
blankies.
Beautiful, and the blankies. And I brought a nice little crocheted afghan with me.
Oh, all right. Carol, this is exciting. This is an outreach ministry of Beacon of Hope called Buckle Up for Change. And it's kind of a vision of us to get out of our walls and get out in the community and talk about God and his love for us. It's kind of exciting days, don't you think?
Yes, I think it could be very exciting.
Well, it is. We're looking forward to tonight. So there's plenty of time. It was still 2 hours before people. We are going to start right at 6. And
it's kind of a great way to begin your formal, if you will, celebration of the birth of the Christ child.
Yes.
You know, it's a time to be reflective in song and message. And sometimes, you know, when, like Nan was saying, when you can't pray, say the name of Jesus. And,
yes.
And I think quite often songs take the place of prayer. Because
right.
You may not know how to pray yourself or feel like you don't know. So you just pick a song, you know, like, O Come, Emmanuel. And it's there for you. It's a prayer for him to come into your life, manifest himself in your life, and then you can move on toward other people. And
good
give
point.
Them the same joy in Christmas. So this is a wonderful time to come out and sit and be a little bit chilly. Bring your hot chocolate in your thermos.
Yeah.
And you may put a marshmallow or two in it if that makes you feel better.
All right.
Sit there and sing and enjoy the words that I know you're going to speak from the heart and from Scripture.
Amen. All right. Let's get this next song in. Kirk Franklin, one of our favorite artists. That Night That Christ Was Born.
Listen to the angels rejoicing air so sweetly, receiving heaven's glory. The night that Christ was born.
Listen to the angels rejoicing and so sweetly, receiving heaven's glory. The night that Christ was born. Can't you see the people
coming from every nation?
Coming from
pleading for their salvation.
Pleading for salvation.
The night that Christ.
The night that Christ was born.
Hallelujah.
Ooh.
Thank you, Jesus.
Listen to
salvation, the night that Christ was born.
Praise God. That's a great song. I've not heard that one either. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. We're going to start with 21. On the eighth day, the day of circumcision, the child was named Jesus. Why? Because God had told, through the angel, had told his father Joseph, and he had told his mother Mary through the angel to name him Jesus. That name means Jehovah is our salvation. And we'll talk more in detail about his name in just a minute. Let's go on with this story. I'm in Luke 2, verse 22, and you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope. Then when the days stipulated by Moses for purification were complete, they took him up to Jerusalem to offer him to God as commanded in God's law. Every male who opens the womb shall be a holy offering to God, and also to sacrifice a pair of doves or two young pigeons prescribed in God's law. Now, it's interesting here that the law was that when there is a child that you are taking up and presenting for the purification ceremony and all that, that it was two pigeons or two doves that you were to take as a sacrifice. Two, the number two in the Word of God, and you know how I am about numbers because they're all significant. The number two means God and me in covenant relationship. God working with me in this situation, whatever it is. And so it was a pair of doves or a pair of pigeons. It was not three or four or five. It was two, because of the significance of that number. Now, in verse 25 of Luke 2, in Jerusalem at that time, there was a man. His name was Simeon. He was a good man, a man who lived in the prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. This man was actually waiting and believing that God was going to bring help to Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him. The Holy Spirit had shown him that he would see the Messiah of God before he died. Now, again, this is God speaking to this man, Simeon, who was quite old, and reminding him that he would actually get to see the Messiah during his lifetime. Nan, what do you think about that? Isn't that kind of cool, how God showed Simeon this? Talk to me.
I think it is. When I was reading this afternoon in preparation for coming here, what stuck out to me in this is a man who lived in prayerful expectancy.
Yes.
Expectancy. He expected that what God promised him, he was going to get to see the Messiah before he died.
That's profound, don't you think?
I think it is.
Because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be living in prayerful expectancy.
Right.
In fact, that's such a good point. Let's bring Carol's comments in here on that, because so often, Carol, I think that we've read the story or we have read a scripture that speaks to our hearts, but we don't take it in to the point that we believe that we believe that we believe that we believe that it's definitely going to happen. I think there's so much doubt in so many people, don't you think, Carol?
Well, I think it's exciting to know that God keeps his promises.
Amen. Yes.
His prophecies.
Yes.
And that he always works the good for those of us, you know, who love him, Romans 8:28.
Right.
And I just find that I've never once been able to meet an individual who was in Christ that could ever tell me that they had ever been disappointed in Christ.
Right.
He's always there, that he always brings hope, peace, mercy, grace, forgiveness, and wisdom. And I know that we need to develop a strong prayer life.
Yes.
And that keeps us away from the beck and call and the bright lights of Satan.
Right. Exactly.
It keeps us wrapped into the promises that this baby brought to us.
Right.
That we can have the Holy Spirit eventually follow us, and that he's present in the Gospel of Luke and in the birth of Jesus and in the birth of John the Baptist. The Holy Spirit was there, and he is in Jesus' dedication at the temple and
right.
his baptism, his temptation, his ministry. And it seems as if God, in the three-in-one God, you know, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, come to us just whichever, as we need it.
Exactly.
And sometimes we don't know which one we need first.
Right.
You know, but God disseminates that for us.
Right, he figures it out.
If we need the peace and the calmness of the Holy Spirit, that's the God that comes to us. That's the Jesus that walks into us and goes, "Fear not, for lo, I am with you always."
Amen.
Even until the ends of time.
Amen. And it's so cool because we can't really fathom the Trinity in it, but it is, they're all God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're still all God, just like water is, every particle of water is two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen, but it can be in the form of ice, running water, or steam, but it's still all water. And that's the way it is with God. So you're right, Carol, there are times that we need that comfort of the Holy Spirit. There are times that we need that authority that Jesus reminds us that we have. And we use that in his name. We use his name. There are times that we just need to just jump up in the arms of Father God, like Nan was talking about, and let him hold us.
Yeah,
you know,
up on his lap.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Up to him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think Nan's got a good point here, Carol. We've got to learn to live in prayerful expectancy, that what God said to us and promised us, he will fulfill. That he's not a man that he should lie. That when his word says, "No word of mine returns unto me void without accomplishing that for which I sent it," that's Isaiah 55:11, that we stand on that and we believe that when God tells us something, he will fulfill it. Nan wants to comment here, Carol, before I get back to you.
I think that many times people, and I've been guilty of it, people will, they just give up. They get tired of waiting.
Right.
You know, God's time is not our time, as
exactly.
we're often told, you know.
Right.
And, you know, we need to continue to believe. I mean, you know, look at how many hundreds of years that God kept promising the Messiah was coming.
Exactly. Good point. That's an excellent point.
You know, and just for a very, very, very long time.
Thousands of years,
thousands
actually.
Thousands of years, many generations down. But he fulfilled his promise.
Amen.
And, you know, so is it in our lives when he has promised us something in the Word, or he has specifically spoken to us something promised, because you can get promises both ways.
Right.
Then we need to just wait upon him and begin to praise him for that promise coming, although we
Amen.
Don't yet see it. And then that increases our faith that much greater. Kind of like he was doing prayerful expectancy.
Yes, prayerful expectancy.
Just knowing that it's going to come, you just don't know when.
Well, and don't you think, Simeon was now very advanced in years, and so is the next person in this story, Anna. And they are not young pups here, okay? And they're thinking, okay, now God, you promised that we would get to see the Messiah. In fact, God had promised Simeon in about verse, 27, 28, that he would actually get to hold him in his arms. Now, that is a specific promise. I've got a lot of promises God's made to me all through the years, mm-hmm. as far as ministry, where God's taken me, what he's doing, all the things he's promised. And, you know, there's been times I'm tempted to go, but do you realize how old I am? You know?
You're only 44.
There you go. There you go. Carol, can you verify that lie, please? And anyway.
Well, I happen to know, Nan, that she's a hair over 45.
Okay.
Just kind of a Nancy.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
But, Carol, don't you think this is a great point that Nan is making? We so often give up before we see the answer, the blessing, the promise that God has given us. We give up and walk away.
Sure we do. We're human. Those are the mistakes we make. Those are some of the things that we don't understand to be his truth. I will give it to you in my time.
Amen.
Well, his time is not our time.
Right.
We have no concept. We don't live in his time because we choose not to.
Right. Because we're not that in tune with his spirit, because we're not sitting around talking to him as much as we need to be talking to him, and we're forgetting it's God with us.
We don't have to pray when something's going disastrous.
Right.
We can pray because that's a conversation with God, and we can pray at any given moment of our day.
Exactly.
Just a prayer of thank you. Gosh, you know, he loves prayer, and he loves adoration, and he loves to be told how wonderful he is, what a great God you are, wonderful counselor, mighty God, holy redeemer. He likes those things because that's who he is. And we need to recognize the more we say those words, the more we recognize, number one, his deity. Number two, his time is not our time.
Right.
We will receive our blessings in his time.
Amen.
You know, and when we were speaking of water, you know, the human body is made of 98% water.
Yeah, that's true. That's right.
And what do we call God? The living water.
The living water, amen.
We, you know, we have that H2O, two parts hydrogen or whatever it is, and well, one part hydrogen, two part oxygen. We've got that within our own body.
Right.
So if we can just make the water that's in our body through prayer and supplication and praises and songs of thank you, if we can do that, we can bless our own bodies with the holy water of Jesus running through us.
Yeah,
you know, Carol says something about... You're talking to God other than just when, you know, we're in great need.
Right,
you know.
Yeah.
You know, my father is, my earthly father, is very, he's a proactive kind of guy. And he just manages to fix things. He can just
fix things.
You know that. He can just fix things. And
yes,
I've gone to him many times. You know, a car problem.
Oh,
or
you name it.
All kinds of stuff. He's there and he helps me and he takes care of those things.
Right.
But we also carry on communication many, many other times, other than just when I'm in crisis.
Good point. Good point.
And I think that is the way with God. You know, we need to carry on conversations. We need to commune with Him
right.
on a very regular basis, and it makes our lives so much fuller
right.
by doing that. Yes, He will come to your aid when you cry upon Him. Of course, He will. But when you have managed to maintain that communication on a very regular basis. In between your crises,
Amen.
Is how much more beautiful your life becomes and how much richer your spiritual life becomes because you're communing with your Heavenly Father on a regular basis.
Amen. Good point. And don't you think this is where Simeon was? Because he knew he was waiting in prayerful expectancy. Luke 2, about verse 27. And the Holy Spirit was on him, on Simeon, and the Holy Spirit had shown him that he would see the Messiah of God before he died. And led by the Spirit, now, okay, he was in such daily communion with God that on this particular given day, God directed Simeon to go to the temple. That speaks of how important it is that we live in constant communion with our Father so we don't miss something that God has for us, some blessing, because Simeon didn't miss it. He was so in tune with his Heavenly Father that he went to the temple that day. What day? The day that Mary and Joseph arrived with baby Jesus on the eighth day when Jesus was 8 days old. And because God had said to him, to Simeon, you're going to see the Messiah of God. So led by the Spirit, he entered the temple as the parents of the child. Look at God's perfect Kairos timing one more time. Look at this. He could have missed this whole thing, could have been missed by an hour, by 30 minutes, by half a day. Look at it. It is exactly on time because God is on time, whether we think so or not. Led by the Spirit, he entered the temple as the parents of the child Jesus brought him in to carry out the rituals of the law. Simeon took him into his arms and he blessed God and he said this, and then Carol, I'll come to you for comments. God, you can now release your servant. Release me in peace as you promised. With my own eyes, I've seen your salvation and it's now out in the open for everyone to see. a God-revealing light to the non-Jewish nations and of glory for your people, Israel. Carol, give us a couple minutes, and we got to go to a song, and then we'll come back. Go ahead.
Okay, I think it just is another one of the prophecies fulfilled.
Exactly.
Whether it was a prophecy spoken over all the nations or spoken a prophecy to Simeon, you will see.
Yes.
You will see the
right.
baby Jesus.
You're going to see.
Before I take you home.
Right.
And that just continues to show me that when God makes a promise to us, He keeps that promise.
Amen.
We don't have to be a teenager. We don't have to be a little tiny child. We can be of any age because time is ageless with God.
Right. Right.
He has no concept of time that He taps us on the shoulder and goes, you know, it's 8:30 in the morning. It's time for you to get up. He doesn't
right.
do that. He takes us into His timeless world and yet is timely in His presentations
Amen.
To us through fulfilled prophecies.
Amen. And so here we are at this particular moment in time, and it is God's perfect Kairos moment, God's opportune moment right now when Simeon is going to get to see the Messiah and hold him in his arms. And as he takes him into his arms, he begins to bless God. I don't know about y'all, but I can just feel Simeon getting so excited and saying, oh, my, it happened, you know.
Yeah,
and he says,
wasn't that Simeon said, oh, you know, gosh, John down the road or Peter down the road or Paul told me about this Christ child. It was. I get to see him. My name is
yes.
Simeon. I get to see him with my eyes. I touch his flesh with mine.
Right.
And I hold the promise of all the world for all the peoples for all time.
Amen. What an exciting moment in time for Simeon. Let's go to this song that is probably one of all of our favorites out there. It is O Holy Night, and we're going to have this rendition sung by Wynonna, and it's powerful, so get ready, O Holy Night.
O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul a thrill of hope. The weary soul rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Praise God, praise God. Doesn't that just make you want to shout? Oh, holy night, the night that Jesus was born. What a great, great song. We are in Luke 2. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope. We're talking about Simeon. And there was another person that also had been told by God that the Messiah was going to come in her lifetime. And I find this very interesting. If you remember the point I made just a few minutes ago, that the number 2 is very significant in the Word of God. And in fact, Mary and Joseph had to bring either a pair of doves or 2 young pigeons for the day of circumcision for baby Jesus. And 2 always represents God and us, our relationship with God. Remember the point we've been making all through this show, that in Isaiah 7:14, it was prophesied 700 or 800 years before Jesus came to this earth that he would be born of a virgin and they would name him Emmanuel, God with us. The angel told Joseph in Matthew 1, which we read earlier, that yes, Mary is carrying the Messiah and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us, and you're going to name him Jesus. And before we get to this second person here, it was this fact that this was the Messiah is going to be confirmed by 2. Interesting. Confirmed by 2. In 2 Corinthians, it says a fact needs to be confirmed by 2 witnesses, which is interesting too. So here we have Simeon and the next one that we will talk about, a woman. And we will talk about her in just a moment. But before we do, I'm going to get back to Carol and Nan in a moment as soon as I teach this concept. He had to be named Jesus. He could not have been named Fred or Jaime or Fernando or Mike or anything else. He had to be named Jesus because the Jewish people put great stock into the meaning of names, what they meant. In fact, John the Baptist was named John by the angel, told Zechariah, you're going to name him John because it meant God, the favor of God is upon him. Okay. The grace of God is upon him. Jesus means Jehovah is our salvation. And it's a fivefold meaning to his name. And if you have a pen, you may want to write these down because these are so significant because they speak to who Jesus is for us on a daily basis in our lives. His name means Jehovah is our salvation, and the expanded meaning of his name, Jesus, means this. Number 1, salvation. So that's saving us from our sins, from our shortcomings, from our emotional hangups, all of it. Number 2, his name means deliverer. I don't know about you, but he sure delivered me out of some things. Has he delivered you out of anything? If not, he wants to be your deliverer. The third meaning of Jesus is safety. And I find this profound because there are times we're in cars, we're in airplanes, we're in situations where we need safety. And this is another reason. Nan, you made the point a minute ago. Just call the name Jesus. And I guess a lot of people don't realize when they're speaking that name Jesus, it is actually pulling in his very nature, which is our safety. Okay? Kind of cool, huh?
It's kind of cool.
The fourth meaning is helper. And we know that the Holy Spirit is called our helper, the one called alongside us to help and be an aid. And I find it wonderful that Jesus' name means helper. The fifth one is prosperer. Prosperer. So there you have it. All 5 attributes and of his name. And there they are. Jehovah is our salvation. He is our salvation. Number 1, deliverer. Number 2, 3, our safety. Number 4, our helper. And number 5, our prosperer. If you don't know how to pray over your situation, whatever it might be, just speak the name of Jesus, like Nan mentioned a moment ago. Speak the name of Jesus. Therefore, when Mary and Joseph took baby Jesus into the temple for the 8th day of his life and to complete the circumcision, and Simeon, who had been told that he would get to hold the Messiah, comes, takes the baby, prophesies, declares, yes, this is the Messiah. Verse 33 of Luke 2, Jesus' father and mother were speechless with surprise at these words that came out of Simeon. Simeon went on to bless them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child marks both the failure and the recovery of many in Israel." This is a prophecy through Simeon right then to Mary. A figure misunderstood. We know Jesus has been misunderstood down through time and contradicted. The pain of a sword thrust through you. In other words, it would be an emotional pain for his earthly mother. But the rejection will force honesty as God reveals who they really are. Our reaction to Jesus coming to this earth reveals our heart. Do we accept him as the Messiah, our Lord and Savior, or do we reject him and say, "I have no time or need for you"? Carol, comment, and then we'll go to Nan.
Oh, my, my, my. The world is in trouble. We're in deep, 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 dark trouble. And not everybody is wise enough to know that, nor understand it, nor even care. It's a dog-eat-dog, me. I'm greater than you, or I'm greater than
exactly.
The Almighty, as you call him. You know, he's not mine. I don't know him. I'm over him. I am more powerful than he.
Right.
We're seeing that, people. We're living that right now. We are living in a dangerous, dangerous time of not being able to speak his name, not understand what he has done for us, what he will do for us, the promises that he has kept for us, the hope that he brings for us, the peace, the comfort, the love, the forgiveness, the wisdom. We are in dark, dark times, and it's not because somebody hasn't paid the light bill. It's because somebody simply has tried to take the light of the world out of our
exactly.
own personal lives.
Exactly.
And if we've never received the light of the world, which is the word of Christ and God in us, we are in total darkness.
Amen.
And we are walking
exactly.
in precarious, precarious times. No one knows the time or the hour.
It could be any moment that we could go.
When he will come again.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
when that trumpet blares, it's too late to fall on your knees and say, "Know me, God. Do you know me? Do you know who I am?
Right.
Oh, Jesus, take me with you." It'll be far too late.
Right.
We're told in Scripture that two will be in bed asleep, and one will be taken, one will be left.
That's right.
Many will be in the field. One will be taken, others will be left.
Right, exactly, exactly.
And when we deny him
amen.
Every single opportunity that we should profoundly proclaim him as Lord God, Master over our souls, over our lives, many people turn and they walk away and they shake their head and say, "I don't know." I was reading something earlier today on the internet. Of course, it had to do with a dog, you know, which is a very important thing to me. And I was sitting there reading this and. The dog basically had been found and saved by its owner. And someone had written in the little blurbs that they write, this person had thanked God that the dog had been found. And this other person says, "God, who is that? The mystical man in the sky with the white beard, Caucasian, of course. Do you really think he cares about you as an individual?"
Wow.
Oh, I would love to have that person sitting in front of me.
Exactly.
Because I could cite them scripture and verse of how God cares for
Amen.
Them.
Amen. Amen.
They don't know it.
Exactly. And that's what the world is in such a mess over, because people don't have hope, Carol. They really don't have hope. A lot of people, unless they know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, it's not about just being good and living a decent life and not cheating or, you know, and stealing or murder. It's so much more than that. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus down in your heart. Nan, let's let Nan comment, Carol, and then I'll come back to you.
No, I was just thinking about something came to mind about Jesus, you know. Schools are in a mess because prayer was taken out of them.
Right, exactly.
And it was interesting. The little glee club at my school on Friday, they're teenagers, came into the main office, stood there, and they were doing two songs for us.
Wow.
And they sang a song that said Jesus in it. I mean, Christ
wow.
in it. Christ in it. And I was like going, is that okay?
Wow.
Is that acceptable? Principal, APs, everyone's standing around, and they sang a song with Christ in it. And it really made me happy.
Praise God.
You know, I don't know if they
That's
really understood really what they were singing.
Right.
But they said the name Christ in my school in a song with for administration.
Amen. We got to get back to this. And
to
people
that.
Have got to realize that Jesus wants a relationship with each of us. Carol, comment on all that.
Well, you know, he is here to save the downcast and the outcast. He is here to
Amen.
Make the downtrodden lives be
yes.
filled with hope and joy and love and peace.
Yes.
And if we don't allow him to do that in our personal lives, in situations where we are every day amongst the public, or in our own families, there are people who cannot go home for Christmas this year or have their family in because the family doesn't approve of who they're married to, who they're living with, the way that they live, because they're the ones who are exhibiting Christ, and the rest of the family is like, who are you? You know,
right.
Christmas is the time for many families to get drunk at the family table
right.
and begin the accusations and cursings at each other. That is furthest thing from what is in God's mind.
Exactly.
God came to help and save the
Amen.
People of the world.
Yes.
You know, who are poor and downtrodden and last in the world, and we're beginning to see the last in the world being raised to the first.
Exactly.
Look at how many quote unquote or quote, and then I'll say unquote, I guess, people who are sit in positions of earthly power, or so
right.
they seem, are being brought to their knees.
Right. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You can take a man who or a woman who is extremely wealthy and yet doesn't realize that Christ is needed. You take all that personal wealth away from them. You take their cars away, those mansions away, put them in prison with the normal, ordinary citizenry of the world. The first thing they do is start professing God.
Right. It does seem that way, doesn't it?
Well, all these jailhouse confessions of God.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Good point, Carol. The point
is beginning to realize
yeah, they need God.
They may have heard it as small children.
Right.
That those who are wealthy will become unwealthy,
mm-hmm.
and those who are last in the world, in the minds of the world, will become God's first.
It's called the great reversal.
Servant
the great
who
reversal.
Bends down to
right.
help someone who is lower down than they are.
Exactly. And so the point of all of this is we need an absolute conversion. We need to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and we need to turn around and believe him with all of our hearts. And I got to get to Anna here before this last song, because it's not just one confirmation that God gave Joseph and Mary and all of us, since we have this in Scripture. It is two confirmations, because as Simeon is there prophesying in verse 36 of Luke 2, Anna, the prophetess, was also there. And it says that she was a very old woman, had been married 7 years, and then she was a widow for 84 years. If you think about that, that's 91 years right there. Well, she didn't get married when she was born. So let's say she got married when she's 15 or so. She had to be at least 106, 107 years old when this happened to her. You talk about a long wait for the fulfillment of what God had promised her. Now she is 106 or 107. She never left the temple area, worshiping night and day with her fastings and prayers. At the very time, here again is the point, God's perfect time. At the very time that Simeon was praying, she showed up. That very time, perfect time. Man, that is too cool,
that's
isn't it?
That's too cool.
It's exactly
fantastic.
At the right time. She shows up, broken to an anthem of praise to God. I mean, you can just hear little Anna singing praise to God. She talked about the child to all who were waiting expectantly for the freeing of Jerusalem. And so we have the second witness. You talk about a shock from Mary and Joseph. Here's this little 106, 107 year old woman over here on the sidelines comes up and starts praising God and letting everybody know this is the Messiah. Carol, comment on that before we do this song. Woo! That is
Can
so cool.
Can you just imagine her in the temple, withered little lady, hands of just withered like a little bird.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and her hair yeah. had to be snow white.
Right, it had to be.
And she stood in complete faith every day for 84 years that her Messiah would be coming.
Yes,
and
yes.
And then to see this child and to be able to know that this child was indeed the King of everything.
Right.
The Almighty God himself. her prophecy in her mind had been fulfilled to her.
Amen.
And you can imagine the joy that she had in looking at this baby and proclaiming to everybody in the temple, I told you my years of prayer were not in vain. The Messiah has come.
Well, Carol, I find it very interesting that what she spent her life doing after her husband died was spending it, it said here, all the time in the temple area. She never left the temple area, worshiping night and day with fastings and prayers. So she must have, I don't know how she was sustained there, but basically she was always spending time worshiping God, praying. Nan, comment on this and how this applies to us and what we need to be doing.
Well, kind of like Carol said, yeah, I was thinking, all these years, it said that she kept going to the temple. Now, of
yes.
course, everyone was, you know, there were people around who were there because they had to travel there to take care of their
right.
legal responsibilities. But many, many of those people lived there and
right.
would see this woman
right.
all the time in the temple praying and
yes.
you know, believing. And she, too, had expectancy of knowing that God was going to fulfill what
yes.
she sensed within herself. And I think that we need to live in such a way that we have expectancy
Amen.
Of what that God's going to, there again, fulfill his promises to us, whether there's something in the word that he's promised us or whether he's come down individually promised something to us. We need to prayerfully, have prayerful expectancy
Amen.
That he's going to move. And then we can give great shout like she did.
Gave a
great shout about how
it said here in the Message Bible, she broke into an anthem of praise to God. Isn't that cool?
That's cool.
You know, I mean, wow. It was reality what she had been living, believing, just like Simeon, prayerful expectancy, and then when she sees the Messiah, it's a shout. We couldn't have a more perfect segue into this song that I asked Connie to put on the show again today, again by Wynonna. It's the Messiah.
It must have been something being born in a manger. With the sheep from the fields and the stars shining over your head, it must have been something seeing three wise men. On their knees before a newborn, with their eyes all aglow, and in their hearts they know it's the Messiah. He's come at last. It's the Messiah. Must have been something speaking the word of your Father, with the promise of life and peace forever. Must have been something walking the streets of Jerusalem with the sins of the world on the innocence of a lamb. Soon everyone will know it's the Messiah. It's the Messiah.
God. It's the Messiah. He's with us at last, and he is right here. He's been all through this show. He is right here. He wants to do something new in your life. Bow your head with me right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, thanking you so much for sending the Messiah, Jesus, right on time. You prophesied it, Lord, down through hundreds and hundreds of years, through so many different prophets, that you were going to send your son, the Messiah. And then you made it good. You made your promise true. You made it good on your word. And Lord, we thank you and praise you today for the fact that you did send Jesus to this earth so that we could see you, Father, so we could know what you're all about. Your word says in John that Jesus was full of grace and truth. He was full of love. It says that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus. And so, Lord, we come before you right now. We're a people that need you. We need the Messiah in our lives. Lord, I just pray right now that if there are any listeners that listening today live or later on to this show that do not know you, Jesus, as their Messiah, that this moment, this time in their life would be the time, the opportune, perfect moment where they will rush to you and ask you to come and live on the inside of them to be their Lord and Savior. And it's just that simple, dear friends. If you do not know for sure right this moment that if you died tonight, you would be in the arms of Jesus, then you need to pray this prayer. Nan, I'm going to ask you to repeat it after me. And those of you out there, this is the best gift that God can give you right now on this Sunday before Christmas 2012. And that is for you to know beyond any doubt in your mind and in your heart that you are saved and going to heaven, that Jesus is your Messiah. Nan, repeat this. And if you are out there and need to pray this because you're not sure, repeat it with Nan. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
I believe that God sent Jesus to this earth.
I believe that God sent Jesus to this earth.
To be the fulfillment of all the promises.
To be the fulfillment of all the promises.
To be the Messiah.
To be the Messiah.
My Lord and my Savior.
My Lord and my Savior.
I believe that he came and was born in a manger.
I believe that he came and was born in a manger.
That he grew up and died on a cross.
That he grew up and died on a cross.
That he died on that cross for my sins and my sicknesses and all that concerns me.
That he died there for my sins and my sicknesses and all that
concerns me. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
That he is now a risen Lord.
That he is now a risen Lord.
And seated at the right hand of the Father.
And seated at the right hand of the Father.
I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart.
I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart.
By faith.
By faith.
To live in me.
To live in me.
To be Emmanuel.
To be Emmanuel.
God with me.
God with me.
I accept you now as my personal Lord and Savior.
I accept you now as my personal Lord and Savior.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen and amen.
Amen and amen.
We want to hear from you if you prayed that prayer and accepted the Lord into your heart. And you can email me, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Carol, that was a powerful song and a powerful prayer. And I believe at least one person just gave their life to the Lord.
Well, I'd like to believe that several did.
I would, you know, too.
It is one at a time, one by one.
Amen.
For those that make a change in their life, they give themselves this Christmas season the greatest gift that was ever given to humanity.
Amen.
And that is Jesus, the Holy Redeemer.
Yes.
The keeper of all of our hearts and souls. So if that anyone praying that today doesn't realize what they have given themselves, it's time for a joyous shout.
Amen.
Hallelujah and amen to everybody that heard this prayer today, that has heard this radio program, that is going to be at the service tonight at Dunedin. It's time now to give yourself that gift.
You amen.
Know, tomorrow's not promised.
That's right.
As we well know. We learned that Friday was a week ago.
Yes, we did.
Life is not promised.
Right.
That it will always be, you know, peaches and cream.
Right.
Sometimes we need something to separate the wheat from the chaff.
Amen.
If we trust God, give him our hearts, and know that he has for us the greatest gift ever given, then he will redeem you, and he will redeem me, and bring us into the kingdom of his Father.
Amen. And to know, Carol, that we will be able to live with God through all eternity and be reunited with our neighbors, our friends, our loved ones, our parents that have gone on before, our family members. It's such a joy to know that, you know, our dear Betty that was on the show last week in Indiana, part of our radio team, her husband lost his aunt this week, and she said this woman just knew the Lord. She was so close to the Lord. And, you know, when we lose a relative, a friend that knows the Lord, it's a blessed homegoing. It is not as sad as when we know a person doesn't know the Lord. Nan, comment on that, and then we'll get back to Carol for some final thoughts in a moment.
Makes it much easier when they do know the Lord. Something came to mind from probably 15, 20 years ago. Young man that I worked with, he had multiple siblings. One passed away. And so I went to pay my respects to him. And I remember standing at the back of the church. There were several people standing there that we worked with. He looked at me and he said, "Did he go to heaven?" Now, I don't remember what I said. God gave me the words to say in that situation because he's wanting to be comforted.
Right.
He didn't know. I didn't know. But God gave the words to be able to say to best comfort him as was possible.
Right.
You know, but it makes it much easier when people
Isn't
know
it
Lord.
Amazing that some people can go through life and not really think about their eternal destiny, but then when somebody close to them passes, it's right there front and center. Carol, give us some final thoughts here before we check out and get to the park. Go ahead.
Well, to think that the people that we loved and that have loved us have reached their heavenly reward. Can we, you know, he asked you a question that you couldn't answer, to be perfectly honest. He wanted it answered in the natural, and we're not capable of doing that because right. we don't know that person's relationship with Christ. And if there is no relationship, it's pretty easy to figure out
right.
that there's not going to be a great joy
right.
in their passing. And the scriptures tells us to weep when a child is born and rejoice in song and laughter when a person passes. You know, when we can get through our head that this life here and the vehicles that we have called bodies, this is not permanent.
Right. So
that
temporary.
We're living here in order to be able to say to God the Redeemer through Jesus Christ, we want to be where you are, eternally, forever, no point in time ever to cease again. And to be able to say that in our hearts, we know that and can do that, that is a very comforting, comforting thought.
I want
to be there. I want to see the people that I didn't get to see and spend much time with as a younger woman.
Right.
I want to know who they are. I want to know the grace of God. I want to know that I'm safe.
Amen. You know, Carol, as you went through it with me, and so did Nan and a lot of our good friends in my church that I pastor, the death of my mother this year in the last day of July. Actually, it was on your birthday, Carol, that my mother passed and went to heaven right at 1 o'clock. My dad had passed in 07 right at 3 o'clock, which that's both numbers are very significant because they both mean God. And, you know, it's very interesting that even though our whole family was very sad to lose her, we knew that she had been a woman of faith and courage and that she was in the arms of Jesus. That when she took that last breath, she was there. She was right there. And for those of you listening that don't have that blessed hope within you, I mean, you can listen to the show. It'll be back. It'll be on our website tomorrow. Then you can listen to it and get to that prayer again. You've got 24 hours to think about it. Go. And when we get to that prayer on this show that we just did, pray it this time and make sure that you have your salvation nailed down. One final comment from you, Nan.
Well, my thing, I guess I'm kind of stuck on that prayerful expectancy.
Yes.
You know, and you know, I would encourage the people to reflect upon the promises that they feel God has made them.
Yes.
And that he has told to them, whether it's individually or by the word of God. And prayerfully expect that to happen.
Amen.
And I'd also like to encourage them, if they do not attend a church anywhere, you're kind of like a pastor for them in a way.
Absolutely. You know? Sure.
So maybe if they have some wonderful promise fulfilled, shoot you an email.
Amen.
At pastor at beaconofhopeministries.com. Yes. And just shoot you an email and say, hey, Pastor, guess what God did for me? I mean, that would just be such a wonderful way of sharing. You know,
we've been getting more of those recently, you know, and it's really good.
When things happen in my life, I get to share with you because you're here.
Right.
You know? And so it's just kind of as excitement when you can share what and God has done.
You know, if you're in the Tampa Bay area and don't have a church, come and visit us, 3700 Almerton. Next Sunday morning, we're going back to our morning service time. We tried the evening for a while and felt that the people really wanted to go back to Sunday. We took a vote. And so starting next week, Sunday morning at 10:30, there will not be a Sunday evening service. Sunday morning at 10:30, Wednesday night prayer meeting at 7, and Bible study, actually. But it starts at 7, prayer meeting at 6:15. Carol, it's been a pleasure to have you on. You're a wonderful member of our radio team. You've been with me since we began this radio ministry, and we appreciate you so much. Nan, the same for you. Thank you both. And it's been a pleasure to have you here. So those of you in the Tampa Bay area, you still have an hour to come out to Dunedin Park, Dunedin Highlander Park. It's at the corner of Michigan and Pinehurst. And join us tonight for a great time of celebrating the birth of Jesus with the band 580 West. I'm going to speak a few minutes. We're going to have Christmas carols. We're going to have a great time. And come and join us. And if you're one of our faithful radio listeners, find me after. You'll know who I am. And find me and tell me, introduce yourself to me. I'd like to get to know you. And we just appreciate every one of our faithful listeners. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll be here next week, 3 o'clock. It's 3 to 5 now every Sunday afternoon. Beacon of Hope Ministries, living the good life. God bless you. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister and my wonderful friends and radio team partners, Nan and Carol, saying goodbye. Have a great week and see you soon.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay, WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay, KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, and FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.